We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Your podcast home of the Utah State Aggies. This is another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast with Scott Girard from Learfield IMG College.
It's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast. I'm Scott Girard. And again, big thanks to all of you who have already downloaded the podcast. Remember, it's available for you in whatever platform you'd like, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. It's all there for you. But we're excited for this conversation. The athletic director at Utah State, John Hartwell, kind enough to join us. John, how are you?
Doing well, Scott. How about you?
I'm doing well. Like, I always assume that maybe this is the slow time of year, but I don't know if there is a slow time of year for you.
Yeah, I think that's a misnomer. You know, a lot of people, and you know, over the year, 21-plus years directly in college athletics now, from time to time I'll have people come up to me and say, oh, hey, I want your job because, you know, all you do is go to games and y'all got the summer off, don't you? I wish that was the case. You know, it's really a time of year where we have a lot of conference meetings. I was at NACTA a couple of weeks ago down in Orlando, which is our National Association of Athletic Directors and our staff as well. And so quite a few, you know, meetings going on, as well as, you know, planning for the upcoming year. Because, you know, our students, a lot of our student athletes for our fall sports will be reporting in about another month. You know, many are probably 200 of our 400 student athletes are on campus in some capacity in summer school. So there's a lot going on. So to answer your question, I did get away last week a little bit on the back end of NACTA to spend some time on the beach in Florida, but the entire summer is not a vacation.
And you talk about preparing for the season. This could line up to be a very special year for Utah State Athletics. Football team with Jordan Love coming back, the basketball team with Namish Keita coming back and Sam Merrill coming back. Expectations for are set at an all-time high, and I'm sure you wouldn't have it any other way.
Hey, the bar is raised high, and, you know, a lot of that is coming in the wake of the success last year. And as I've told people over and over, what really has me energized about the coming year is, you know, last year's success was a whole lot of fun and, you know, a lot of fond memories about it. But last year, whether it was football or basketball or some of our other accomplishments in other sports, none of these programs were built as one-hit wonders. I think the foundation is very solid, and I think the 2019-20 academic/athletic year has all the promise in the world to be highly successful for the Utah State Aggies.
At fundraisers, and you're talking to donors, just how high level is the excitement level from fans and donors about the upcoming season? And I'm sure a lot of people are looking for opportunities to get involved.
You know, they are, and that's something that both myself and Jerry Bovey, our new deputy AD, who joined us about a month ago from Weber, that he and I have talked constantly to our development staff about, hey, we've got to continue to strike while the iron is hot. People are excited about what's going on. They're passionate. All of our teams for the upcoming year are undefeated right now. So, let's go visit these people and get them either more involved than they currently are, or people who have not been involved, getting them involved. And I do think part of that message is, yeah, we've experienced some great success, and our intention is to continue to experience great success. But that success comes at a price. There is a clear correlation in collegiate athletics between investment in and success output. And we've got to continue to push the needle further and further in a positive position in terms of generating dollars to help support our athletic programs.
There's a lot of things on the horizon. You guys have done so much work, but kind of maybe, you know, and look, I don't want you, you don't have to break any news here on a podcast, but what are some of the short-term and long-term goals that you'd like to see in terms of facilities?
Well, you know, when you talk about facilities, you know, we are doing some things as we speak that I wouldn't call major renovation projects, but they are. We've got new lockers going in our football locker room. We've got some things on the drawing board with our football practice fields. A lot of those won't be completed until next spring. We are looking at some concepts and actually just had a meeting yesterday in terms of basketball and what we want to do both short term and long term. Obviously the Spectrum is a magical place, and you know, for anybody who was not in the Spectrum for those last two home games down the stretch for San Diego State, Nevada this past season, my message to you would be get your season tickets now, because the excitement level of those last couple of games and the you know the stretch run by our basketball team was incredible, and I think we'll pick right up where we left off come this November. But, you know, we've got several things out there on the drawing board, some track improvements as well. Softball, looking at potentially putting in a new, you know, turf there. We've had some significant drainage problems out there. So quite a few things out there on the horizon. And, you know, people may say, well, gosh, you know, in the last 5 years, you've got the Estes Center has been built, and the West Stadium Center, and all the things, you know, look at Icon and look at Fitness Center and all the things we've got going. Yeah, those facilities are great, but then you've heard me say this before, Scott, if people will tell you that collegiate athletics at our level is not an arms race, they're flat out lying to you. You can't say, oh gosh, we built these three or four things and we're going to put it in cruise control for the next 10 years, because if we do that, our competition continues to have building projects. And from a recruiting standpoint, we've got to stay in the game.
John Hartwell, Athletic Director at Utah State, joining us here on the Aggies All the Way podcast. I want to go back to basketball a little bit. Namish Keita, and look, if a kid can go in the first round and secure that guaranteed money, I think we'd all pat him on the back and wish him well. But with that said, he's back for another year. Just how happy were you when you got that phone call saying the big man was going to come back for another year?
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, the thing about Nimi is we all know he is a tremendous basketball player. But he is an even better person, and I'm telling you, it puts you in a good mood just to be around the guy. He's always got that huge smile on his face. He's so appreciative of everything. And, you know, while the process was very good for him, I think our coaching staff did a really nice job. And I think Nimi himself did a really nice job of not getting caught up in the hype, of taking a look at the big picture at everything. And it made all the sense in the world for him to come back and spend at least another year being a Utah State Aggie. And, you know, the bottom line in that whole process, you know, if you can guarantee that you're going to be a first-round draft pick, it's a no-brainer, really, because they're guaranteed 3 years of money in the NBA. But beyond that, especially if you've got opportunities, you know, as a young player to continue to get bigger, stronger, faster, hone your game in, you know, it made all the sense in the world for Nimi to come back. And I know our coaching staff, his teammates, and Aggie fans everywhere are extremely excited that he is going to return as an Aggie this fall.
When the Mountain West Conference released its basketball schedule, I think people really took notice that the conference schedule starts really early and ends very early. There's some kind of a convention going on in Vegas that forced the conference to go a week early. Is that correct? Or what was the story there?
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. So we do have two, you know, basically in the first week of December, we have two conference games. One of those is Fresno at home. The other one's on the road. And we finish conference play a week early, and we'll actually play our conference tournament a week earlier than we have in the past. And the reasoning is just like you said, there is this huge construction convention that basically gobbles up the entirety of the hotel rooms in the Vegas area, which that's quite an undertaking if a single convention can do that. But it just, and this is something we've known about 2 years out, so it was really the best solution for us. And I believe, was it the Big East or the American Athletic? Another league had a similar situation 2 years ago, I think, in New York with Madison Square Garden and the hotel rooms in the city there. So what will happen is our championship game will be Saturday, that first Saturday in March. And then, whoever wins that, hopefully the Aggies in repeat fashion from the 2019 tournament, basically will have a week and a day till they find out where they go in the NCAA tournament.
Hmm. It's a little bit like the West Coast Conference runs their tournament a little early. It's not out of the norm. And this is just a one-year thing, correct?
Yes, it is. 1 year. We'll be back to that second full week in March for the tournament in 2021.
Okay. I talked to some people out of Wake Forest in preparation of the game out there. I know a lot of people are getting excited for a kind of an interesting season for Utah State in terms of the schedule. You open up at Wake Forest, and then the LSU game, you know, the proverbial money game's not till a little bit later, and then you're not playing BYU until November. It's kind of a weird schedule as far as where things usually lie as opposed to where they are this year.
Yeah, it is. And, for the last several years, we played that BYU game that first Friday night in October around conference weekend. And this was probably, I had not been on the job, but about 6 months, so about 3.5 years ago, a call was made and BYU and ESPN wanted to move our BYU game until that November date. So that was done, and then that's what freed up the time slot there for that LSU game to be available. So yeah, it is kind of a different schedule, and it's back to this fall is a 14-week schedule to play 12 games, so we actually do have two off weeks, which will come one of them pretty early after the Stony Brook game in week 3. And then the other one on the backside of having played LSU, which I think that one, sets up pretty nicely for us.
Yeah, no doubt. How excited are you to see a team led by such a tremendous young man in Jordan Love take the field again? I mean, I know there are a lot of people out there jonesing for this football season to begin. And frankly, I know there's a lot of coaches up there that are ready to get it started too.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement around it. And, Jordan is such a special player, but I tell you, and he would be the first one to tell you this because he's He's not a guy who wants to take all the spotlight. He's a very humble young man. He says, you know, there are a lot of exciting players on this year's squad. You know, I will say one thing about Jordan. I think as we speak, he's actually in an airplane on his way, yeah, flying to New Orleans, on his way to South Louisiana to participate in the Manning passing camp, which is a huge deal for him. You know, obviously, when you've got Archie Manning, Eli, and Peyton Manning all there, you know, conducting this camp, and Jordan, and along with I think 11 other collegiate quarterbacks, will basically function as counselors during the day for some young quarterbacks in training, and then obviously those counselors will get the benefit of some tutoring or some tips from three of arguably the best quarterbacks of all time, both the collegiate and the NFL level. So I think that's an outstanding opportunity for Jordan. I know he's excited about it. I know the Mannings are really excited about it. Obviously, I had an opportunity to get to know Eli and then Archie as well in my years at Ole Miss, along with a guy named David Morris, who is heavily involved, and he was a quarterback at Ole Miss with Eli as well, who started a company called Quarterback Country, who's now exploded all over the country, that specializes in training quarterbacks. So it'll be a great experience for Jordan, and I know a springboard to what, you know, I think is going to be a tremendous junior year for him.
We were all big fans of Coleman Barnes. Good friend, good man, and we wish him the best in West Virginia. What was it about Jerry Bovey that said, this is the guy I need to come? And how has the first month with him been for you in working with him?
It has been outstanding. I tell you, he brings so much to the table. And you're right. You know, Coleman did a really nice job for us. And Coleman's somebody, you know, as most folks, most Aggie folks know, I worked with at Ole Miss as well. You know, an opportunity for him to go back to work with Neil Brown at West Virginia on the football side. And Neil is somebody that, you know, was a child, literally Coleman and Neil grew up down as childhood friends. But the opportunity to bring Jerry in, you know, just outstanding. And he and I, literally in my 4 years here, you know, we've had several opportunities to visit, was always very impressed. You know, and we had a conversation, I guess, shortly after Coleman left. I just said, hey, is there an interest? And he said, yeah, there possibly could be. And, you know, we visited several times over the next couple of months. And, you know, it really came to fruition, and I'm excited about it. I'll give you a little side story, and this just tells you kind of the interwoven world of collegiate athletics. So a guy who reached out to both of us about each other happens to be a guy named Greg Sankey, who's the commissioner of the Eastern Conference. So, mm-hmm. Greg, obviously I knew him and working in the SEC almost 10 years, and Jerry got to know him working on several NCAA committees. And so Greg knew that I was in the market for a deputy AD and said, hey, you know, I know this guy. I know you know this guy. He's right down the street. He goes, but he's tremendous. And, you know, kind of in a parallel conversation, Greg had a conversation with Jerry and said, hey, you know, I've worked with John before, you know, somebody really well-respected in the business. I think you two guys, you know, your core values and your vision for athletics are very similar. I think you guys would be a good partnership. And so fast forward, and it all has happened. But that, you know, that's kind of an interesting side story about how interwoven the world of collegiate athletics is.
That's awesome. Well, hey, we certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to doing this a few more times as we continue on with the podcast, and looking forward to getting this season started. There's no doubt.
Absolutely, Scott. Appreciate all you do to promote Aggie athletics, and can't wait to be on the road with you August 30th going to Winston-Salem.